I'm going to tell you that the holiday is not good for you. I'm going to tell you that the holiday is stressful. I don't need to tell you that. You know that. I'm going to tell you that the holiday can leave you empty. I'm going to tell you that the holiday is going to leave a lot of us up to our Santa hats in debt. The holiday will, but the holiday is different than Christmas. In fact, it's interesting. There's some of our Christian brothers and sisters with good hearts and good intentions will say, boycott stores that use the term holiday instead of Christmas. I was thinking about this. I was actually thinking it should probably be the opposite. That maybe we should boycott the stores that misuse the term Christmas to describe the chaos and the materialism and the commercialism and all that kind of stuff. Maybe we should sue them, right? Fundraising right there. Maybe we should sue the folks because maybe we should sue the folks that are misusing the term, which began as the Christ Mass. That's where the term came from. Because is what we're doing really celebrating the birth of a Savior who was born in a barn, who came in such a humble way? Maybe that's what we should do. Now, I see some faces that I don't know well. I'm not seriously advocating lawsuits, just in case you're wondering about that. That's just a joke. But what if, you know, what if we thought a little different, or at least we took time to think a little bit different on this thing that they're calling the holiday? And what if we as believers, what if we started to draw some distinctions? And what if we let them have the term the holiday? Just let them have that. Let them call it the holiday and let that be the term for the pluralistic, commercial, crazy, stress-filled thing. And then what if we celebrated Christmas? And had that be something that has similarities, but something that is different? At least that's where my mind went. Today, we're starting a brand new series. It's going to continue between now and Christmas. And we're calling it Experience Emmanuel. And starting next week, you're going to see a change in just the way we do things around here. We're going to have some different symbols. We're going to take some of our familiar symbols and we're going to pack them up. And we're going to put out some other ones. And those of you who are kind of the prophetic types, I want you to stay on us as a congregation. Because when we bring things out, we shouldn't just be decorating for decorating's sake. I mean, it's Jesus' money, and I want to spend it like Jesus would spend it. And so we're not going to just try to decorate for decorating's sake, but we're gonna bring out images and colors and all kinds of things that are gonna hopefully help us. At least they're gonna be designed and intended to help us experience Emmanuel at this time. Well, if you're not familiar with this name Emmanuel, our church didn't have it first. It comes from the Bible. If you brought your Bibles, why don't you open up to Matthew chapter 1. We'll also put this up on the screens. This is one of the passages where this phrase or this term Emmanuel comes from. This is in Matthew chapter 1. As Matthew's trying to explain here, Jesus is born. Here's some of the inside scoop as to what's going on. Matthew chapter 1, let's look at verses 22 through 23. Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. All right. You're all there ahead of me. That's not a good sign. Okay. I got to Matthew now. Matthew, here's all the introduction. Here we go. Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. All right. All this, and we're going to talk about some of the all this in a minute here. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Sorry about the typo in all of your Bibles and the typo on the screen. It's an I instead of an E, which means what? What does it? What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Now, with the spelling, as best I understand, it's a translation thing. If you're translating from Hebrew, a lot of people are more likely to use the I. If you translate from Greek, more likely to use the E. How's that for some Bible trivia this morning? Okay, but anyway, that's not important. And I would say that would fit in the category of trivia. The main thing is that God is revealing himself as Emmanuel, as God with us or with us God. That's the big thing. That's how God's choosing to reveal himself. He reveals himself in a number of different ways. We look at the different ones from time to time. One of them is Emmanuel. He's purposefully revealing himself as a with us God, and a approachable God, a God who actually cares about what's going on in our lives and comes into our world. Now, in your bulletins, which we're going to have to warn you on this Sundays when there's all the stuff that falls out, to hold them taco style. Maybe that'll be our language. This is a taco style bulletin day. Hold it up so it doesn't all fall out. Well, in there were the yellow cards, and we had those in there last week too. The ones that say, hey, here are the topics and series that were, some of the ones we're looking at. We want to get your input on it. About 50 of you filled those out last week and turned them in. Thank you so much. And I especially appreciate the honesty by which you were filling these cards out. Really appreciate it. Some of you wrote down, we had a little section there so you could have your questions for God. Many of you responded to those. And it's interesting because the types of questions that most of you were asking were the types of questions that can only be answered by a with us God. They weren't the type of questions that were just theoretical. They weren't the type of questions, most of them, that are just easy answers. They're not the type that were just true for every person. So much of it was personal. You were asking personal questions. Here are some of the types of questions that were asked. God, what's your agenda for my life? And how do I stay on it? We don't have these on the screen. I'll just tell you some of them. Another one. God, what's your will? What's my purpose? God, how do I know, many of you have had this one, at least I have had this question, how do I know when you have spoken or are speaking to me? How do I know it's not just me? How do I know it's you, God? Personal questions. How do I pray without turning you into a slot machine? How do I pray like that, God? How do I personally combine compassion and conviction? How can I help my family know you? Not just people. How can I help my family know you? How do you stay patient and love me in spite of my sinful decisions? Why do innocent people die? There were a lot of questions surrounding this type of thing. Why do innocent people die? Or why are they abused? Why do my prayers go unanswered? How do I discover my spiritual gifts? God, help me understand suffering. Why do I have so much difficulty reaching out to you? Great question. And then here's one. Will I go to hell? Questions that are personal that can be answered by a personal God. So once again, thanks to all of you who filled these out. Getting this kind of stuff just makes me go, okay, maybe we can get together once every 2 days because we have so much to talk about it and to go together. Maybe that's why Christians initially would gather daily, you know, in each other's homes. I would encourage you. Be in that kind of relationship where you can ask these kind of questions. But there is a personal God revealed himself as God with us or with us God who wants to help answer those questions. You might not like what you hear. You might not like the answer, but there's a personal God who wants to connect with you on that kind of a level. That's what we're experiencing this season. So as I think about those things, I think about how our culture tries to get us to celebrate, you know, right now. And I think how different those are. And so you start to think, well, should I just completely throw all that stuff out? Should we just throw out the lights and throw out the Christmas trees and throw out the gift giving? And for me personally, I think the answer is no. We just need to remember why people started doing that to begin with. And that's why, you know, we're calling this holidays, because I think we can get into this days and just forget the whole reason why we're doing what we're doing, like lights. We talked about this last year, some of the original intent behind some of the symbolism. And lights are great to have this time of year, because the scripture talks about Jesus coming as light and God as light. And this is the darkest time of the year, and so it makes sense to have light. Come on, this time of year. So you're not doing something wrong. It's just to remember why we're doing what we're doing. You know, or gifts. If you trace, it's ironic that St. Nicholas, Santa, is actually one of the most distinctly Christian of all the symbols that came out. It came out of a guy, if you trace all the way back, a real St. Nick who gave gifts to the poor. So for us to remember, hey, let's not just give gifts to all the people when, you know, well, this is a whole other topic for another time, but the question, what do you give the person who has everything, is actually not a biblical question. There's scriptures that warn us about giving gifts to the rich. Interesting on that. But that's a whole other thing. But the idea of giving gifts to the poor. What a great time to take a toy drive. What a great time. for us to do what we're doing and to help other folks. So it's not about just getting rid of all the symbols. It's rediscovering why they're there and not getting so caught up in those that we miss the point of why they even exist. If you're a note taker, we just have one thing to write down today. You might end up jotting some other stuff, but just one today, because this is an introduction to where we're going to be going the next couple weeks. Here's what I'd like you to write down in your notes, if you can find them in the book. It's in chapter 12, I think, in your pamphlets there. All right, holidays, celebrations make Christmas a what? It's a blur, just a blur. But Advent preparations, they're different, and they can help you actually experience Emmanuel. Holidays, that'll make Christmas a blur if you just mindlessly get caught up in that. But Advent preparations, they help you experience Emmanuel. Let me explain a little bit what I mean by this, even though some of it I think is pretty intuitive. Does anyone know where the real word holiday, if you spelled it correctly, H-O-L-I-D-A-Y, does anyone know what two words were combined to make that word? Holy and day. I'm not making that up. Holy and day. They were the words that were originally combined to make holiday. And so I spelled it with a D-A-Z-E, not as a typo, but as a description to what's happening. We just get in this holy days. Everything's all blurred together, and we start celebrating in a very sometimes non-Christian way, using what started out to be the Christian intent. You know, if you take a holy day and it loses its sacred set-apart distinctiveness, then it all can just become a daze. For instance, take the Christmas tree. This is an example of where I think it might be good to let them have the term holiday. Because how many of you have started to see the shift where it's no longer the Christmas tree, it's a holiday tree? Right? And that used to really bug me. You know, a couple years ago, it really bugged me. Why do you call it the holiday? What other holiday is a tree? You know? What? This doesn't even make sense. You don't have to be a believer to just say it's Christmas. But I'm starting to get to a place now where let them have that term and then let them have their own holiday tree. Because you look at some of the catalogs and you start doing the math. The little box of ornaments this big costs $20. And then they have the whole tree that's 8 feet tall. And it's got all, it's everything looks perfect, right? A holiday tree is a source of stress because you got to get the perfect tree, and you have to have it look perfect, and then you get it perfect, and you can't let anybody touch it, right? And you're afraid that the cat's going to come and bat at the light and all that kind of thing, right? If you have a cat, one more reason to get the dog. They don't, anyway, sorry. Now what did I start? Send the emails to Pastor Isaiah, and he'll take care of that. Let that be a holiday tree. Let that be, and you call it a holiday tree. Because when a billion people, we talk about this stat all the time, it just blows me away. When a billion people live on a dollar a day or less in our world, and if we just, without even thinking, sink hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars into a tree, is that the tree that Jesus would probably use to celebrate his birth? I'll let you decide that. I won't pronounce judgment. Just a thought, right? But you can still have a Christmas tree, couldn't you? And you should use the color green, I would suggest, because that's one of the original thinking is here you've got this tree that in the wintertime, it keeps its color. In the toughest, coldest time of the year, that tree can stand and live and thrive. And put lights on it because of what we talked about before. Light shining in the darkness. And decorate it, but decorate it with things that remind you of family. And symbols that bring you back to Christ. And sure, make it look great. Make it look wonderful. But do you see how it's different? And how you can have one that is just, you're just doing it. And then the other one that actually makes a point. That you know, one that misses a point, one that a point. Do you see how that can be different? Well, what we're going to do for the next 4 weeks after today, leading up to Christmas, is we're going to really focus on this season on the Christian calendar that's called Advent. Advent. The word Advent means coming. It could roughly be translated as coming. And it can refer to the first advent, the first coming of Jesus as a baby. It's also a time to remember he's coming back. And in between, it's this concept of letting the advent of Christ come in a fresh way into our lives. It's a season of preparing. It's almost like we're preparing for his arrival again. That waiting and that longing and the making things, you know, prepared for him to come and be among us. If Advent had a theme song, this would be a good one. It's called O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Let's put up the first verse to this. O Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. Okay, leave this up for a second. If I'm getting my history right, this verse was originally translated from Latin, and it was from the 9th century. If I'm getting my history right, verse 1 is translated from words from the 9th century. And I look at that, I'm thinking, this rings true today. Don't we need this? You know, ransom captive Israel. How many of you know people who, it's like they're captive? They're captive to debt, or they're captive to addiction, or they're captive. There's something, it's like holding on to them, something they don't want, but it's like it holds you. You know, there's people that are like that, and somebody to ransom us from that mourns in lonely exile. You know, we've talked so many times before as a community about the Garden of Eden and how, you know, Adam and Eve, when sin entered, they were exiled from this garden, from the way things were supposed to be, and ever since, it's like we've been in exile. You know, we need people to bring us back. So many of us, we feel distant from God when we pray. So many of us, we feel distant in our relationships. We know this relationship is not the way God would have it to be. Work is not fulfilling the way God designed it to be. There's all these things that are not the way that God intended them to be, and we have a sense of that. And we live in a world where so many of your questions were about, how can there be this kind of evil? It just feels like this is not a world that God would create if there's all these problems. That's the exile. And the experience that the author of this had in the 9th century, continent removed, is our experience. And that's this experience of Emmanuel, of Advent. Oh, come, God, with us. And let us experience you with us, rather than distant or set apart. Well, I want to open our scriptures up a little bit. Even though this is just an introductory day, I want to show you, just give you a taste of some of the types of scriptures we're going to be looking at throughout this series. If you brought your Bibles, open up to the book of Isaiah. Oh, this is a good one. Isaiah, as opposed to, I always say that, this is a good one, as opposed to the, you know, parts of the Bible that, well, truth be told, there are sections that are hard. Hard going. You know, I've been doing that reading through the Bible, trying to get through the whole thing. Man, there's some sections where, wow. Okay, Isaiah chapter 40. Let's take a look at this one. What a great passage. All right, Isaiah 40, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. This is a sample of some of the types of texts we're going to be looking at and digging into in Advent that predict. This was written, for those of you not familiar with the Bible, this was written hundreds of years before Jesus came. So here are some of the predictions of a time that is to come. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been what? Paid for. That she's received from the Lord's hand a double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight, and real quick side note, even though I'd love to get into this all over the place, when you see the Lord capitalized like that, they're using the holy name of God, so you prepare the way for the Lord. How cool is that? This is God, holy God, but coming in the form of God with us. Man, we could do some stuff if we didn't have food waiting for us. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Yeah, by the way, if the lights go out and power goes out, just hang in there. It's the crockpots. All right? We'll just finish by candlelight here. Okay. All right. A voice of one calling the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Again, this would be great to take this word by word. But didn't this come to pass? Who was the voice in the wilderness? John the Baptist, or John the Covenanter, right? Yeah, these things came to pass, proclaiming this good news. Hey, it's going to come. And let's take a look at one more scripture in Isaiah 61. This was a little more descriptive now. So the voice is coming saying, hey, this time is coming. Be ready. Be prepared. A time will come. And here's some of the stuff that's going to happen. This is Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. And there is a capital Lord again. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim what? Freedom. Ransom us. Give us freedom for the captives. And release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And a day of vengeance of our God. To comfort those who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Now we live in a privileged time. Because this promise of an advent that for generations they could only wait for, it happened. Jesus opened a scroll and he read those words and he said, this has been fulfilled. And it was. Blind began to see. Captives were set free. The good news was preached to the poor. The very things promised were happening. And they are happening. And our invitation is we can experience this Emmanuel, this God with us. That's this invitation. And it's so easy to forget it. And it's so easy to take it for granted. And it's so easy for it all just to get blurred. And I fall into that trap just like everyone. So here's the thing. Okay? It's time for the thing. Turn to someone and say, get ready for the thing. Okay? Seriously. Because here comes the thing. You ready for the thing? Here's the thing. You can miss Jesus. That's the thing. All of this, that everything in the Old Testament could be pointed to. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. It happened. People missed it. And we're going to look at that in the next couple weeks. People missed it. It was happening. Angels were singing out loud. And they missed it. And we can miss it too. Right here sitting in churches even. We can miss it too. And we don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss Jesus. I did a quick study. And I typed in BibleGateway.com. Great resource. I typed in hear and ears. And just to see what would happen. And I got at least 10 times where Jesus said something to the effect of, those who have ears, let them hear. I want to show you an interesting passage. Acts 28. Let's take a look at this. Where that same Isaiah that we just read from, he's quoted here. If you want to stay in Isaiah, if Acts is too hard to find, you can just go to Isaiah 6 because it's pretty much the same thing. All right. Acts 20:28. Those who have ears, let them hear, the word says, because you can miss it. Even Isaiah said it. Here's what it says in Acts 28. They disagreed among themselves. They began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will be ever what? Hearing, but never what? Understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts. And I in turn would heal them. Look at verse 28. Therefore I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles. And they're going to listen. The warning here is you can be a religious person and miss Jesus. In fact, if you're too religious, if you're just doing the religious stuff, you can miss Jesus. You can put up the tree. You can put up the manger. You can go boycott Super Target. And you can miss. You can miss. You can set up a little toy Jesus in a little toy manger. And the real Jesus isn't even in your house. That can happen. And that's why I want us to gather. I mean, one of the reasons I'm going to encourage you to gather during this time so that we can be quiet and be still. Because there's no way to avoid it. No way to avoid it. What we can do is once a week gather and re-get that perspective. Here's a little clip. We have one last clip. It's a minute long or so that I want to show you before we wrap up. Go ahead and play that. It almost feels weird to have silence, doesn't it? It's almost weird to have silence. We so often have to have all of our time filled with noise. I'm going to encourage you to do something I haven't challenged you to do since the beginning of our church in our long year together. I'm going to encourage you, and more than encourage you, I'm going to challenge you to do everything you can to attend an Advent service at least once a week from now till Christmas. And I'm not saying it has to be here. This isn't like try to get people to Emmanuel Covenant. This is about trying to challenge you to carve out at least once a week during this season where you're carving out time to gather with God's people to do this Advent preparation thing. And it doesn't have to happen in a church building. It doesn't have to happen in a middle school. It doesn't have to happen on a Sunday. But I want to challenge you once a week to get together with other people and do this Advent thing, a time of preparing, of gathering, of refocusing. So I'm not going to tell you just go to a church service, because it's very possible the church service might be just adding to the frazzledness. But I'm going to challenge every one of us once a week to not miss that week of recalibration, of gathering around God's word, of getting ready, of preparing ourselves. You're going to have excuses. Every one of us does. I do. I could give you a million reasons why I should miss, you know, one of these weeks, but we can't. We can't. So no raising hands, but anyone up to that challenge, you can just nod. Can I get that commitment from some of you? All right, good. Seek it out. Make it a priority this time. For those of you who this is your church home, I want to show you what we're doing so you have an idea of what's happening the next couple weeks. If you could pull up the notes and quotes page, rather than having a lot of stuff for us to write in this time, I wrote down just some pieces so you can kind of even prepare a little bit and know what's coming up. Next week, the first Sunday of Advent, it's going to be neat. We're calling it Blue Christmas, and you'll see why when we gather. But we're going to physically, you know, pack up some of our symbols. We're going to unpack some of the others, and from a biblical perspective, help us understand how our very rhythms and our atmosphere, how that can affect whether or not we're experiencing Emmanuel. The week after that, it's a communion Sunday, and so what a great time to take communion and slow down and show how powerful that is to be doing that this time of the year, and some of the great more than symbols, some of the great things that God is doing there. On the 14th, we're going to focus on this. Do you have room in the inn? Have you so crowded out your life that there's no room for Jesus to come in at Christmas time? And then right before Christmas, that let every heart to really focus internally and just go, all right, besides all of the scheduling, the external stuff, internally, are you preparing room for a fresh Advent of Jesus in your life? And then, some of you have been waiting for this. We weren't able to do it last year, but we're going to have a Christmas Eve service this year. Not here. It's going to be at Rice Creek Covenant Church. They're opening their house up to us. House of prayer, house of worship. They're opening up their church building for us. So Christmas Eve, we're going to have a Christmas Eve service. I even got those up. Some of you who grew up with candlelight services, how many grew up with candlelight services? All right. Did you ever have those little white candles with the paper things? I found them. So we've got the little candles with the paper things to protect the wax. But it won't help when your kids are throwing wax at their... But that's for you parents to have to deal with. Us parents have to deal with. Okay, so we're going to have a Christmas Eve service. And what's really funny about the Christmas Eve service is everything we're doing is precedent setting because we're, you know, new. And so I started to think, okay, wait a minute. If we're going to do one or the, if we're going to do a Christmas service, should we really do it on Christmas Day? You know, so I had to think about that because there's a lot of reasons to do it on Christmas Eve. It's just cooler, you know, and it's better for logistical reasons. But I started thinking, we can't let that be the deciding factor. And I started thinking, and on Monday, here's where it came to me, for what it's worth, here's my thinking. The scripture says the shepherds were watching their, were in the fields watching their flocks by night. Okay, so there was that piece. And the Hebrew day starts with night, right? The Hebrew day starts with night. So if you want to celebrate Christmas at night, you have to celebrate it on Christmas Eve. There we go, right? So that's my justification anyway, but it's I'm excited. I'm excited to gather with that. There's nothing wrong with celebrating Christmas on a different time. We don't even know what day it really was, but there's something special about welcoming the advent of Christ around candlelights and a real simple service. And one other thing, I'd love for you to give me emails on this. Another thought I had this time on Thursday was, since it's the Christ Mass, should we maybe have communion at our Christmas Eve service? So I'd love to hear your thoughts. Email me. Some of you are already sending your thoughts by way of this. Bobblehead. Action. Good. So I'd love to hear your feedback on that. All right. Well, there you go. Today was more of an introduction than anything, and I hope it was a helpful one. An introduction to where we're going to be going, but hopefully it also was a reminder of what this holy time is. And again, my challenge is, whether it's here, whether it's someplace else, find a place where you can prepare for the advent of Christ in a fresh way this season. All right, one last thing before we pray for the food. One last thing. If you would be so kind as to take out your bulletins, and there should be two cards inside there, two identical cards that say Experience Emmanuel. Why don't you pull those out? Let me tell you what that's all about. Besides just thinking it's funny to watch people drop these all over the place, here's the other reason we have them in. One of them is to post. I would encourage you to take one of these and put it someplace you'll see it. We have made a bunch of them, so take as many as you want. I've got one that I'm going to put in my my books at home that I'm reading as a bookmark. I also have one in my desk. Just as a reminder, put it someplace where you'll see it. As a reminder, hey, let me take this season to not just caught up in the craziness, but to experience Emmanuel. So that's what one of them's for. The other one really is a challenge to me, because we had a guy that came in here, and I've referenced it a couple times. His name's Mike Brown. He really challenged us. He talked about the stat where believers only invite Christians to church an average of once in how many years? 28. The average Christian invites someone to come with them to worship once every 28 years. So the other one, what I encourage you to do is to pray, and if God so moves or provides opportunity, use it as a way to invite people. And again, not necessarily to here, but to wherever you are worshiping this time. So that's what that's about. Well, let's pray and seal what we just talked about, and then let me tell you how we're going to do our first attempt at a potluck. All right? Let's pray, seal this, and then we'll give you some details on how to get some food, and you guys brought some great stuff. Oh, let's pray. All right, Lord, we do. We want to pause right now and ask Holy Spirit that you would seal what you just spoke. May the things that were not of you just drift away. May the things you want to communicate, may they be sealed right now in this time. Lord, help us. We ask that you would help us to see through. Give us your eyes this week. Give us your eyes as we go through our week of separating what is a good idea from what isn't. Lord, help us to see the richness. Even if we're in the most commercialized section of the mall, God, may we see you and encounter you for who you are and not what we've turned you into. So, Lord, let this be a season where we can prepare for your advent as a church community, as the Christian community, as individuals in a fresh new way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.